In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, how we think matters. As we think, so we are. The Fathers speak very clearly about the process of sin. It begins with thought, doesn't it? Then it proceeds. We evaluate this thought, and we either go to action, or we reject this thought. Now, of course, sometimes actions can be our thoughts themselves, right? Like when we have thoughts about people that we shouldn't have, etc. How we think determines what we do. The apostle here today is teaching us how to think. This is very, very important, because a very big part of the key to victory in the Christian life is to learn how to think, to learn how to evaluate things, to learn how to measure things, and also to learn how to have a dialogue with yourself. This is a totally valid idea that is one of the few things that modern psychology gets correct. We must know how to talk to ourselves. We must know how to cause ourselves to follow the right path. When we're in the midst of a temptation, how to discuss the issue with ourselves, as it were, in our hearts. This is what all the saints did. This is nothing new. This is the way to eternal life, to be able to put things in perspective at every moment. No matter what we do, no matter what we say, no matter what circumstance we're in, to always be able to have the perspective that Jesus Christ would have. And the apostle's teaching us this right now in the Epistle to the Romans, the first reading that we had today. He says, being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. Then he goes on to say, as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even now so yield your members servants to righteousness and unto holiness. Then he goes on to do some of the comparisons that I want to speak about in a minute. If we are to think of ourselves as free from sin, that is most of the battle. Didn't the Lord live and die and teach and endure His passion and then be resurrected and ascend into heaven and send His Holy Spirit so that we could become free? Isn't another way of saying that we are a Christian is to say we are free? And isn't sin something that keeps us as slaves? This is just fundamental ABC dogma. With sin comes slavery. With righteousness comes freedom. I was speaking of this yesterday, and there's a marvelous asymmetry between righteousness and sin. With sin, we fall into its sway and are unable to extricate ourselves because of habit and because of weakness. We become the slaves to sin. God does not help us with this. He does not help us to sin. He does not encourage us in any way. When we sin, we are totally on our own. And we are totally enslaved to it, especially at the moment of sin. But righteousness, we're completely free to do righteousness. And the more free we become, the more we are filled with the Spirit of God, the more it is easy to do righteousness, but we're never forced. And yet, even though we are never forced, God helps us. He will help us to do righteousness, but not to do sin. And if we yield ourselves to righteousness, if we consider ourselves to not have a choice about righteousness, this is us making the choice now, not God. God's not making this choice for us. We are choosing to say we must do righteousness because we are slaves to it. Whereas with sin, we're not doing the choosing. Sin is choosing for us. Isn't that the case? If you're addicted to anger, if you get angry in situations easily, do you choose to get angry or does it just happen? If you're lazy, do you say, you wake up today and say, I'm going to be lazy? No. You just don't get things done. Continue on with the day gets worse and worse. And you just can't seem to become what you want to be. Look at any sin. Sin gets its tentacles in us and makes us slaves of it. God doesn't do that with righteousness. We must do that with righteousness. We must choose to be servants of righteousness. And this is the way to think that we must have inculcated in our way of life. This is, as it were, the mnemonic device, the memory aid that all Christians should have when presented with any situation, to be able to, in a flash, not so much in your thought as much as in your soul, maybe not even something that's conscious, but making a decision that is, I am going to do the righteous thing because I am not giving myself the right to do that which is not righteous. I am a slave to righteousness, a willing slave, either an unwilling slave to sin or a willing slave to righteousness. We have that choice. Now, the Lord, through Paul, gives us some comparisons. When you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness, he says, meaning that when you're servants of sin, the word free there means basically you were apart from righteousness. When you do sin, you're not doing righteousness. Then he says, what fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of these things is death. What good comes out of our anger? What good comes out of our irritation? What good comes out of lust? What good comes out of thinking bad thoughts about people, remembering wrongs, not forgiving someone? What good comes out of it? It doesn't. We know this, and yet still these things are things that we're addicted to. And I could name a dozen more. Right? We all have different things that are weaknesses in our lives. Some of us more, some of us less. Some of us share the same weaknesses. Most people have a weakness for irritation, for instance. What good does it do to be irritated? The end of this is death. It doesn't make us at peace. It doesn't improve our situation. In fact, it may make things much worse on a temporal level, right? You get irritated with somebody, they argue with you, and then everything just gets worse and worse. There's nothing good about unrighteousness. It doesn't help us. It doesn't do anything except hinder us and hurt us. So if we have the attitude that these things are things that are to be thrown onto the refuse pile, not to be thought of, but instead we are to say, where formerly I was an exile, now I am brought near. Now I can say, Abba, Father, I am with my God. And He loves me, and He will help me. And I will willingly submit myself to Him as His slave. Now you have two choices. Willingly submit to God or unwillingly submit to the evil one. There is no in between. And if we think always about being free from sin, we will become free from sin. Now, I've talked to you many times about the so-called cognitive dissonance in our life, right? We hear very many great things about what it is to be a Christian and what we will become, right? And yet, we're not becoming them. We're leading pretty mundane lives, pretty ordinary lives, making the same mistakes over and over again. Well, to that, I answer two things. Number one is a lot of things are changing in your life that you might not be aware of, because you can't see them, partially for your benefit. Because we see something and we say, oh, look at what I've done, and then we fall further. And the second thing is that the problem is not that God cannot do it. The problem is that we don't believe and don't submit ourselves to Him. So when we have a problem, we should look to ourselves and say what we need to do to solve it. God will help. All we need to do is believe. The reality that we are free from sin is there. But we don't see it because we see our sins. But the apostle understood it. And the apostle, in other places, he talked about the things he did wrong. He was well aware of his weaknesses and the things he'd done wrong in his life. And yet here he's saying, being made free from sin, you are servants or slaves of righteousness. In another place, the Lord refers to this idea. He says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Because if you are free, if you follow the truth, which is Jesus Christ, a few weeks ago, I said the answer to every question is Jesus Christ. That is, every question about that matters, every question about life and death, every question about righteousness and unrighteousness, about salvation. The answer to every question is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the truth, and the truth will make you free. In another place he says, therefore, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. A type of freedom that we cannot understand until we live it. The beauty of the Christian life is it promises us perfect and complete freedom. The unfortunate fact of our life is that we don't completely believe this because we believe instead our surroundings. We believe our habits. We believe in our addictions. Instead, we should start believing in the gospel that we are made free from sin. If we learn to think in this way, we will live in this way. It's really true. This is not magic. This is not psychobabble. This is the gospel. Jesus Christ died to make you free. Who are you to say you're not free? To contradict our Lord? No. We are made free from sin. So let's learn to live in this way. Let's learn that whatever situation we come across, we will be thinking, I'm a servant of righteousness. I'm not a servant of the devil. I'm a servant of righteousness. I am free from sin. I can choose to not sin. And the more you believe this, the more you will find yourself living righteously. Now, of course, all this is done in the context of begging God for help and believing that no good comes to us except through God and that we of ourselves can do nothing. So, brothers and sisters, learn to think differently. Learn to remember every moment, even when you're having one of your lazy days, one of your listless days, when you're falling into a sin that you fall into all the time, that you really are free from sin. If you exercise this freedom, don't consider yourself to be a slave to sin. You should consider yourself to be a slave, a willing slave to righteousness. And if you do this, you will live victoriously. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and to the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.